We're going to continue in this theme that has kind of been running in our church. It's been through devoted conference. He is. This new song that Davey and the team wrote, He is. I love that Pastor Sharon shared during devoted, He is here. In case you were unaware, He is here. And that changes everything about this room. The almighty presence of God is here. And whether you've been coming to church your entire life or you don't even know how you found yourself here today, He is here. And the reason He's here is to meet with you. That's why He's here. It's to meet with you, to speak to you. Does anybody want to meet with God today? Does anybody want to hear from God today? Does anybody want to have an encounter with God today? Didn't come here to hear a preacher, hear nice music. Came here to encounter the almighty presence of God. Isaiah 6 says this. This is what we're going to be reading from today. In the year, and if, church, if you could engage in this moment as we read this, I want us to try and take this in. We're going to speak to it. In the year that King Uzziah died, it's an important note. The Bible says, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. My prayer today is that we would see Him. Church, I wonder, have you seen Him? Church, I have seen Him. I'm not asking, have you heard about God? I'm asking, have you seen Him? He says, I saw the Lord. Where did He see Him? High and exalted. He is high and exalted. Can I get an amen? I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. Anybody thankful that He's still seated on the throne? I'm more thankful than you are. Anybody thankful that He's still seated on the throne? That's good news. And the train of His royal robe filled the temple, the glory of God. Oh, have you seen His glory? Church, we are going to see Him today. We are going to see His glory today. I know this. Verse 2, this is what Isaiah sees. Above Him were seraphim, two angelic beings. This is what Isaiah is seeing, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. And with two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They didn't just say it once. They didn't just say it twice. But three times they emphasized, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God is in this room. And then Isaiah says that the sound of their voices, as they're worshiping and declaring, Holy, 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 the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. It's the Shekinah glory of God. The temple was filled. There was nowhere to escape the overwhelming glory of His presence. And then Isaiah says this in verse 5. He has now seen God, and so now he can see himself. And he says this, Woe to me. This is the posture in His presence. When we see His holiness, Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, And I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. I see myself for who I really am. And in this humble posture, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongues from the altar. Verse 7, with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips that were unclean. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Anybody thankful for the presence of God that removes your guilt? That removes your sin. When we are reminded of the guilt that he has taken, the sin that he has taken, it changes the way that I praise, changes the way that I sit in church, changes the way that I live my life. And then verse 8, this is what happens. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. My prayer today is that we would see God and that we would see ourselves and that we would answer the call as God looks over Wave Church and says, who shall I send? And as many of us flood this altar today, that our response would be, God, here am I, send me. If you're taking notes, the title of our conversation today is this, He is Holy. If you'd like a subtitle, to write this down, He is Holy, He is Holy, He is Holy. The devil has two lies that the holiness of God deals with. The first lie is this, that you are so good you don't need to be saved. The second lie is that you are so bad you cannot be saved. Both are lies. Both do not stand up in the midst of the holiness of God. I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for who you are. God, I feel the weight of your presence. I feel your glory. May we see you today. We come before you as your church family, whether we feel like it or not, with humble hearts. And with humble hearts, we open our eyes to see you. God, we need you. We thank you, you meet us right where we are. We thank you for your altar today. The fire of your presence, it's gonna meet us here. God, I need you. I need your power, your grace, your authority, your anointing. God, help me to do what you want to do today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We held a funeral this week at our church for a great man in our church. His name was Paul Price. Paul was many things. One of the things that Paul was, he was a gifted drummer who loved the Lord. He loved worship. And I think around 2014, Paul had a stroke that immediately changed his life. But Paul was a fighter and he fought to regain more mobility than doctors anticipated. And while Paul lost the ability to drum, he did not lose the ability to serve. He served on our production team. Many of our production team remember Paul for many years, and he still had one good arm. And with that one good arm, he held one of those cameras in position every Sunday so that the gospel could be reached beyond these four walls. And at this funeral, like every funeral, Paul's friends and loved ones and family spoke of the character of Paul. And from what I heard, if you could boil down the character of Paul to one word, it would be this: loyal. That's a good word to be known for. Every person who spoke of him referred to his loyalty. Funerals, they tend to put things into perspective. It puts eternity right in front of us, death. It is something that we so often try to avoid thinking about, especially when we lack understanding of the glory and purpose of God's kingdom. And church, if I may be direct, if I can remind us that we are on borrowed time. And it makes you wonder when it's your time to go home. If people could describe you in one word, what would that word be? There's this moment in Scripture where Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" I've heard people think I'm like this prophet or maybe I'm that prophet, but Peter, who do you say that I am? Our answer to that question, church, carries eternal weight. And the good news is we don't have to wonder who God is. He has shown us, and he is showing us. And he stands at the door and knocks. His spirit is moving right now. We don't have to wonder what he's like. His attributes, the attributes of God, are no mystery. How do we know his character? He gave us his word. Not just his word, his holy word. What does it say? Holy Bible. These are the holy words of a holy God that penetrate past your flesh and into your soul. Church, I don't preach from good ideas today. I don't preach from nice principles today. I speak from the holy anointed word of Yahweh. I speak with holy words that are good news. These holy words that open blind eyes. These holy words that set the captives free from darkness. Church, this is not a motivational speech today. I stand under the holy written word of God. And if you read this book with humility, you will see him. You will hear him. You will experience God. And you will see and you will discover, if you could boil God's character into one word, it would not be love, though he is love. It would not be grace, though he is grace. If you could boil God down into one word, it would not be patient, though he is patient. It would not be kindness, though his kindness leads me to repentance. It would not be justice, though he is just. It would not be forgiveness, though he forgives the worst of my sins. It would not be judgment, though he is the judge. It would not be wrath, though he carries wrath. It would not be peace, though he is the Prince of Peace. A peace that is supernatural, that surpasses the natural understanding of this world. It would not be joy, though he is joy. It would not be salvation, though he is our salvation. It would not be king, though he is the only king. It would not be power, though he is all powerful. The character of God in one word: he's holy. He's holy. He's holy. His love is a holy love. His grace is a holy grace. His judgment is a holy judgment. His wrath is a holy wrath. His salvation is a holy salvation. His peace is a holy peace. His joy is a holy joy. He is holy. When we truly see God, we see that He's holy. And it is then we truly see ourselves. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah knew God. Isaiah was following God, but he hadn't yet fully seen Him until this moment. And I want to share what I believe is the agenda of the Holy Spirit today, so there is no surprise at the end of this service. I believe there are people here today, and we know God. We come to church, but we haven't fully seen Him. And today I believe the power of God is going to move at this altar where I stand, and we will see Him for who He really is. We will see ourselves. There are people here today and you need a fresh touch of the fire of God. There are people here today and you don't know Him yet. Maybe you've been running from God. Friend, He found you. You can experience your guilt being removed. Sin being taken, the freedom that is found in His grace, in His holiness. Isaiah 6, y'all still with me? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Isaiah points to the timing of when and how he sees the Lord. The catalyst for this vision of God, King Uzziah, the king who was ruling their nation, has died. It's important we understand King Uzziah was a great, effective king who honored the Lord in his kingship. But the greater that his power and influence grew, the more successful King Uzziah became. Arrogance and pride began to creep into his heart. And it is in this place that King Uzziah began to dishonor God, and he dishonored the temple. And what was once a great, seemingly invincible king, his life ended in sickness away from God. And this great king who had built a false confidence for the people, this great king who had become an idol for many, even the prophet Isaiah had false confidence in this king. The people's picture of power and success has died. And it is in the dying of an idol, it is in the death of a false god, it is in the death of earthly success, it is in the death of this power that Isaiah is able to see God for who He really is. It took the death of a king for him to see the true king. I wonder, church, what needs to die in your heart for you to see Him? What is your hope in? Think about this. What is your hope really in? Isaiah knew God. Isaiah followed God, but his hope was attached to something else until it died. And where does Isaiah see God? This is important. Where does he see Him? High and exalted. Where God should be. The problem with much of American Christianity today is we see God as equal. We see God as an add-on. We have lost our fear of God. We've lost the awe and the reverence of God who is high and exalted. Church, when we really see Him, He is high and He is lifted up. He is high above any ruler, any government, any circumstance, any devil. He is higher. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God, we take a moment as a church family and we remind ourselves, you are high and you are exalted. You are high and you are lifted up. Can we take 10 to 15 seconds? Can we give him praise? Because he's high. He's higher. He is exalted. Now come on, church, more than a church clap. He's high. He's exalted. He's lifted up. He's greater. He's stronger. He's still seated on the throne. You are high. You are exalted. Isaiah simply reveals the way in which God is truly seen, high and exalted. What in your life have you placed higher than God? Sometimes it's good things, not sinful things, but we place it higher than God, and so it becomes an idol. I wonder, what can't you let go of today? What can't you surrender? I believe as we flood this altar today at the end of the service, that we will put God back in his high place. Idols will be dropped here today. The Bible says Isaiah sees God seated on the throne. While Isaiah thought the throne of earth has been vacated, he sees the true throne in heaven remains filled. May it remind us today, God is high and he's exalted and he's seated on the throne. While governments rule and fall, while kings rule and fall, while presidents change, there is one who is higher. There is one whose seat never changes on his throne. He is sovereign of all. His name is King Jesus. He is the Lord Almighty, and he is holy, and he is holy, and he is holy, and he is high, and he is exalted, and he's seated on the throne. God is still seated on the throne. He's in control. That gives me confidence today. While nations tremble, while governments falter, my God is still in charge. This is the quiet confidence of believers. He is victorious. He's still on his throne. Isaiah then says, the train of his robe fills the temple. The robe of God. Isaiah sees the glory of God. I wonder, church, have you seen his glory? Church, I have seen his glory. Have you seen his glory? I believe today we are going to see his glory. And it fills the temple. God's glory doesn't just fill some of the space, most of the space. When we see God high and exalted, his glory, his mighty presence, it fills every square inch of space. Church, when we see God high and exalted, seated on the throne, we begin to see his glory move in every square inch of our lives. When we come into church in the posture of humility, when we worship him high and lifted up, we begin to see, feel, and encounter his glory that will fill this room with his majesty. His royal robe will fill this room and it never runs out. It's overflowing. His glory never runs out. I want the glory of God to flow in the temple of my heart. I want the glory of God to flow in the temple of my mind. I want the glory of God to flow in the temple of this house. God, we want to see your glory. Isaiah has seen God. I wonder, have you seen him? Have you seen him? Have you seen his glory? Today, friend, you will see him. You will see his glory. The Bible says what Isaiah saw next. Above him were seraphim, each with two wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah sees two angelic beings. Their specific assignment in heaven is to worship. And they show us how to worship. Each with six wings. Two of them covering their face. Two others covering their feet. This is a picture of humility. Reverence. Revealing the posture of true worship. Humble before God. How often we come to church casual in our worship. Arms folded. Our participation is determined on how we feel, on how good the music is, on what song we play, on how our week was. But when we truly see God for who he is, our posture changes from ever walking into church late again to getting here early, because how could I miss one moment in the praise and worship in his temple of giving him glory, because I am in awe. That he meets me here. Because you're holy. There's two wings left. It's with these two wings they used to fly. As they worshiped and declared, it's as if we're shown how our lives should look. The majority of wings used to worship, two used to work. Our lives are meant to worship. Yet how often my life looks like this, where I will use five wings to fly and work and one to worship. And the Bible says in this posture of reverence, they worshiped and they declared, "Holy, holy, holy." They didn't just say, "Holy is the Lord Almighty." Many of us, our worship sounds like one holy. Yeah, he's holy. They didn't just stop at two. Some of us, our lives, it sounds like two holies. Two is enough. But they declared and emphasized three times, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Spirit. No one is holy but him." Holiness is the essence of God. Church, if God is anything, he is holy. He is holy. And the whole earth is full of his glory. There is nowhere to hide from his glory. There is nowhere you can run from his glory. His glory will find you even if you make your bed in the depths of hell. You may be running in your sin today. You can't outrun his glory. His glory will find you. Some of us have been running from God, and today his glory has found you. Stop running from God and rest in his glory. Going to happen at this altar today. You would rest in his holiness. The last thing Isaiah says and sees in verse 4. Y'all still with me? The last thing Isaiah sees is this: at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook and the temple was filled with smoke. This is what Isaiah sees as they declared, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah saw the temple begin to shake, but it did not fall. The temple was filled with the tangible, overwhelming, uncontainable presence of God. Church, I'm reminded when Jesus told the Pharisees who tried to stop and quiet the people from worshiping, he said, if they don't worship me, the stones will cry out. A rock, even inanimate objects, will begin to shake and declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. One of the problems in today's Christian culture, we have passed on the purpose and honor of singing and declaring and worshiping holy, holy, holy to the stones of our city. But may we be a church that we worship in such a way, in such awe, where the walls of his church shake with his glory. And the only thing that crumbles are the doorposts of the prison of sin and the prisons of our past and the prisons of our shame. And the only thing that trembles is the principalities of darkness as we worship, as we declare, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. And after Isaiah sees God, the most important moment in his life happens. I believe it's going to happen for many of us today. He sees himself. Isaiah says this, woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. Oh, I know this prayer. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God is here, church. It is in the seeing the holiness of God. Isaiah sees just how unholy he is, how unworthy his best works are, how full of sin he really is. And the Bible says Isaiah became undone in the presence of God. It is here that we see the power of repentance. Isaiah is grieving over his sin. This is repentance. To grieve over our sin. To be undone in his presence. The problem with many Christians today is we have not seen God. And so we have not grieved our sin because we are still hiding, trying to hide parts of our life from his holiness. And so we don't see God for who he really is, and we don't see our sin for what it really is. And we miss the miracle of his holiness. We don't know what it is to be undone in his presence. Oh God, you are holy, and I am not. You meet me here. I heard a pastor talk about AA meetings recently. And often AA meetings are held in church basements. And there was this saying, you go into the sanctuary upstairs to hear about miracles, and you go down to the basement to experience them. Why? Because it is in the basement. There was no hiding before God. The pastor said, if Christians acted more like alcoholics, maybe we'd see more miracles. What does he mean? God, here I am. All of me. I hide nothing from you. This is what I believe today's service at the altar is for. When we come down here, that we stop hiding. And we're going to sing, holy, holy, holy. And may we be undone in the presence of God as it fills this place. God, we want to see you. We didn't come to church to see a preacher. We didn't come to church to see a screen. We came to see your glory, because you are holy, holy, holy. When we see God, we see ourselves. Friends, stay with me. We experience the gospel that he can redeem every inch of your heart, of your mind, of your soul. Let me show you. Isaiah has become undone in his presence, and the angel touches his lips with a hot coal, the fire of God. The Bible says, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Isaiah sees God. He grieves his sin. And he is touched by the fire of his presence. He experiences the saving grace of God, the power of salvation, prophetically pointing to the atonement of sins in Jesus. It is in this place of repentance that God's power moves. Guilt and sin is removed by the fire of God. Church, the presence of God is not cold. It is not lukewarm. And I believe it is time for the church again to experience the almighty fire of God. Can I get an amen? We don't need a nice sermon. We don't need nice music. We don't need nice ideas. We need the saving power of his presence, of his almighty power. We need the fire of God. Can I get an amen? It's what we need. Some of us are still living in guilt. Some of us are still living in sin because we've yet to really see God. Some of us are living lukewarm Christian lives because we've yet been touched by the hot coal of his presence, his holiness. And then Isaiah experiences the call. We're almost done, and then we're going to worship. This is what takes place after we are touched by the fire of God. What I believe many of us will experience today. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." God looks at Wave Church today and he says, "Who shall I send?" Isaiah responds, I respond, may we respond, "Send me." And the fire of God's presence, Isaiah responds, "God, send me." Church, it is in his presence that our souls are set on fire. And the only response is, "God, here am I, send me. God, in my home, send me. In my marriage, send me. In my family, send me. At my job, send me. In my city, send me. In my nation, send me. In our government, send me. In our world, send me." We are here to be sent. God is looking for those who will see his holiness, who will humble themselves. And his presence